Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to keep us acquainted with space engineering and then the big stuff, exploring on Mars. Bob, a very good evening to you. SpaceX and Blue Origin, theoretically they're competitors. It just is a coincidence of the calendar that SpaceX is launching a very important Starship Super Heavy at approximately the same time the Blue Origin is finally launching New Glenn. What is New Glenn, and what dates have they given us? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I'll start with New Glenn because it's going to launch first. New Glenn is now scheduled to launch no earlier than January 12th, that's Sunday, but very early in the morning at 1 a.m. So if you stay up late on Saturday, you can basically watch it. It's basically late Saturday night, 1 a.m. right after midnight. New Glenn is a reusable rocket. They have a demo mission of the Blue Origin's orbital tug on board that they're going to demonstrate for the military. But their main purpose is to show off this rocket and prove that it can fly. So getting into orbit is the most important thing. Getting the payload into orbit is the most important thing. They have contracts with the military as well as Amazon to do a lot of launches, and so they got to get it going. That's the primary thing. It'll be a spectacular launch because this is a big rocket, so it'll be pretty impressive. It's bigger than Falcon 9 significantly, and it's comparable in many ways to Falcon Heavy. What's interesting about it is its first stage is reusable, is intended to be reusable like the Falcon 9 first stage, and it's supposed to land on a barge in the Atlantic. And that's really the most exciting part of this flight, I think. I think it's pretty, there's a good chance, not a guaranteed chance, but a good chance they'll get the payload into orbit. It'll work in that manner. I mean, you know, first time, might not, but let's assume that'll work. Landing the first stage on the barge is going to be a lot more problematic. They're going to try. That might be the most exciting moment during that launch. So that's Saturday night, 1 a.m., just after midnight. SpaceX, meanwhile, is now targeting Monday, January 13th, with a launch window of 4 p.m. Central in the afternoon for its seventh test orbital launch of its Starship Super Heavy rocket. And that's a much bigger rocket. It's a lot bigger. And this is going to be testing the version 2 of Starship. This is a completely redesigned Starship. It looks kind of similar, but they've readjusted the flaps on it. They've redesigned the propulsion system as new avionics. Its tile system has further upgraded. They're going to try to deploy 10 dummy Starlink satellites to see if the deployment system works. And they'll do another engine relight of a Raptor 2 engine on Starship once it's in orbit. And yes, they're going to try to capture the Super Heavy on its way back. They've done some upgrades to the launch tower and to the systems so that they will have a better chance of being able to catch it. So that'll be pretty exciting, and that's on Monday, John. And so these two things are significant because if they both succeed in everything they want to do, America's got some real power when it comes to getting things into orbit.
The Florida Department of Environmental Protection, suddenly a new player on the field. What are they up to, Bob?
I have a feeling that they're going to get pretty badly slapped by the DeSantis administration, but the Department of Environmental Protection has fined Blue Origin $3,250, a small amount of money, but they fined the company because it had the nerve to do a static fire test where it used the deluge system on its launch pad for New Glenn. And they did this in September prior to the permit paperwork being completed. They approved the permit in November, but the Blue Origin wanted to get this launch off, and so they had done the static fire test with the deluge system. And the Environmental Protection Agency, they're doing the same thing here that Texas's water system was doing, bureaucracy was doing. They're claiming that the fine is because they did this deluge system and dumped industrial wastewater into the environment. And that's, of course, bogus. It's absurd. They used potable water in the deluge system. It ain't going to do any harm at all. It's comparable to what shuttle launches have done for 40 years. And they've been doing at Cape Canaveral and Kennedy for 75 years. So it's an utter stupidity that they should be fined here. What's really the question is, why did it take so long to get the paperwork signed? Blue Origin shouldn't have had to have been stuck waiting months to get the papers done. And so I expect that Santos is going to do something about this. This should not go on. It is kind of ironic. Jeff Bezos has spent years cozying up to the environmental movement, sending lots of donations to them, a lot of leftist causes, and you think this he would buy them, but this just proves that leftist politicians and activists cannot be stay bribed. He's given all this money, and yet they still cause him problems here.
Ron DeSantis wants NASA? Where? Why?
As I mentioned earlier, John, the Trump transition team is exploring the possibilities of consolidating several NASA centers from Maryland and California and putting them in Alabama together with Marshall. They're also talking about reducing the size of NASA's headquarters operation in Washington, D.C. And DeSantis says, you know, NASA's lease for its building in D.C. expires in 28, and the agency is now putting out requests for bids to have a new gold-plated $500 million headquarters built in the D.C. area. And DeSantis says, wait a minute. If Trump is considering reducing the size, why not just simply move NASA headquarters to Florida, to the Kennedy Space Center, where there's already facilities waiting for them? And it's going to be a smaller headquarters anyway. You have much fewer employees. Why just move it to Florida, where there actually are real operations going on? And I think this is not a bad idea, really. You really don't need a big NASA headquarters. As DeSantis says, no one goes to the massive building in D.C. There's no reason to go there. What I found interesting about this is the politics. The Trump administration transition team for NASA is looking about moving two NASA centers out of California and Maryland and move them to Alabama. And DeSantis is suggesting moving the Washington, D.C. headquarters to Florida. Every single one of those moves, that they would consolidate and shrink the overhead of NASA, they would be moving power centers out of blue states and into red. And I'm not sure, I'm not saying whether this is right or wrong, but I am recognizing the politics of it. You certainly have hints here that the Trump administration and other Republicans are saying, well, you know, if we're going to consolidate, let's consolidate to the advantage of our own constituents.
Houston manned space control. Was it a coincidence, Bob, that that was at the same time there was a man from Texas in the White House? Was that it?
No coincidence at all. I mean, we're getting back to the same game. The Democrats have done this from day one. And Johnson put the mission control of NASA in Houston for political reasons. And as a kid, I always thought it was really weird. The launch takes place in Florida. Mission control is in Florida. But as soon as they say T-minus zero, it switches to Houston. And what a weird way to do things. And, of course, it all had to do with politics.
And JPL in California, what's the threat, Bob?
The fire, the wildfires. It's now they've shut down JPL. This is very bad. If JPL gets badly damaged by those wildfires, it could really signal significant damage to almost all the ongoing space missions that JPL manages, such as both Mars rovers and other missions as well. And you know, once again, we don't know if JPL is under threat, but they've evacuated the building and they've shut down operations.
Do they have warehouses of satellites out there? Is that where they put the satellites together?
It's not so much that. The operations centers for the rovers is right now. I mean, obviously, yes, they also do construction. They have white rooms. You know, they're doing building. They build the things at JPL as well. You could have satellites and probes that are under construction damaged. But I worry more. That's bad. But I would worry more about losing operations of the rovers.
There's a couple of Venus missions that I'm keen on, so I don't know where they're being built. I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Japan wants us to know about Chinese hackers in their space program or just generally?
This is a more general report. I've reported on this previously about in the fall. Japan announced that Japanese hackers had Chinese hackers had aggressively stolen data from Japan's space agency, JAXA. But this new report this week says they have now identified a Chinese hacker group dubbed Mirrorface. Has been leading the charge and has been the source of 210 attacks in the past 5 years on all of Japan's government agencies. It's National Cyber Department, it's National Police Department, it's National Security Offices. They've all been attacked aggressively by Chinese hackers. Some of these hackers have to do with email phishes that government employees should know better than to click on, but apparently they have, and they've been caught with it. And so once again, we have more evidence that China isn't really original. It steals everything from everybody else, and including intelligence.
Toyota, finally, commercial space. What are they doing, Bob?
This is once again the attempt in Japan to shift from government-run JAXA, the space program, government-run space rocketry, to put it into private enterprise. And so Toyota has announced it's going to invest $44 million in a rocket startup called Interstellar Technologies. What I found interesting about this, first of all, it is good news in Japan, but what I found really interesting is that Interstellar had been on my list of new rocket startups about 5 years ago, and then it just disappeared. No word, heard nothing from it for literally years. I thought it went bankrupt. But apparently it was in stasis, and it managed to convince Toyota to give it a major influx of money, and so it's maybe going to come back to life.
Used to be your favorite big space outfit, ISRO. It's changing leadership. Is there a cause here? Has something gone wrong?
No, it's not something gone wrong. In fact, it's a little it's their bureaucratic way of doing things. The India's space agency routinely the chairman of that space agency takes the job for basically a 3-year term. And that's it. So after 3 years, a new guy gets assigned. So the present leader, or the previous leader, S. Samanth, had done a really magnificent job. He really straightened out a lot of problems at the agency, made sure they were working much faster, but also much more tightly and smartly. And he was able to get a lot of things done, and they've shown signs of coming back to life under him. But his term ran out. And so they've now appointed a new guy. His name is Narayanan. And he, like Samanth, is a engineer. He comes out of their he was the director of their Liquid Propulsion System Center, where they develop, rocket engines. And so he has experience in that area, and so he's taking over. And it's coming at an awkward time, because they're about to engage in a lot of major projects, such as a manned mission next year, unmanned test for a flight. And these were instigated and put together by the previous guy, and now this new guy's going to take over.
And we go to Oman, which is a part of the Middle East. Its neighbor is Yemen, where the Houthis live. Saudi Arabia is always in conflict with Iran. Qatar, to our understanding, has played a non-transparent role with regard to Hamas. But Oman wants a spaceport. No, not just one. How many, Bob?
No, one. They want one, but they did a suborbital test launch in the fall there, in early December, and they didn't reveal much information about it. It was, based on what I can read, it was really the suborbital rocket was just simply a step up from a model rocket. But they wanted to demonstrate this is a good port, a spaceport location, and it is. It's right on the Indian Ocean.
Right.
You'd have polar orbits and equatorial orbit options. So it's a good location. And I know they have been talking to American startup rocket companies trying to convince them to come here and launch. The problem, of course, is that Oman is not considered to be a friendly power, and State Department ITAR rules will prohibit private companies from bringing any of their technology to Oman. So they've made deals with China. They're going to do three more suborbital launches of this rocket in this coming year, and they're doing it to basically demonstrate once again that they're serious about this. I have a feeling that they could become the space fort for the Middle East, the Arab world, if they work hard at it. And there are a lot of other Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and UAE that are trying to make space programs. So that's the future, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. We'll start with Mercury when we come back.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.